You know, God's been speaking to my heart about in Christ, just abiding in Him, remaining in Him. You know, once we come to Christ, we stay there. You know, there's abundant life in Christ. In Christ, there's abundant life in Christ. And, you know, we know that. We have heard it many times in church. You know, I have come so that you can have abundant life. And just God has been speaking to me about that. You know, we were talking about that. I think it was 2 weeks ago that I was teaching. And just God has me there, you know. Abundant life, that definition of abundant is so overwhelming. Is I want to have that kind of life. He came. His word says He came. That is the very reason He came. You know, we were singing, He came, He took our place to save us. But it's beyond that. It's, you know, I mean, it's not, salvation is not, I'm not going to hell. Just that, you know, it is, you know, I'm not going to hell. God save me. But salvation is way more. It's deeper. It's wider. It's just, and I feel like we don't get it. You know, I feel like we don't live that life He came to give us. And it's not fair. It's not fair for us to not be taking advantage of that awesome gift that He came to give. You know, He came, He, in God, in His deity, He took that off. He humbled Himself. He came to this world to be like one of us. And then He died in the most humiliating death so that you and me can have abundant life. And God has been asking me, Denise, are you living that abundant life? And I'm not. And it's not fair. It's not, you know, I want to repeat that word in abundant in John 10:10. It is, in the sense of beyond. It's beyond. It's much more. It's not just what I see here. It's not just this. It's beyond. Super abundant in quantity or superior in quality. You know, if I know it's not good to compare, but if I compare my life, you know, to people in the world, yes, I am super abundant in quantity and in quality and superior in quality. I know I am, but it can go beyond that. The third one was preeminence. You know, He came. Abundant life is preeminence. We have preeminence, which means exceeding abundantly above. So what that means is that in everything I am, in everything I do, wherever I am, at work, at school, even in church, you know, my life needs to be exceeding abundantly above everyone else. We have preeminence in Christ. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's for us to get excited. You know, we have preeminence. Then number four is more advantage. Hey, that's awesome. You know, like, it feels awesome when you know someone, or, you know, you go to a place and you know someone, and they, there's a long line, let's say. There's a long line, and then you know someone, and they're like, hey, you know, it's not cheating. I'm not talking about, you know, you are at the movies or somewhere and there's a long line to buy tickets. I think that's not fair. But anyways, that's besides the point. I'm talking like, for example, a bank. There's a long line, but you are a client, a special client, and you come and you just go, right? That's advantage. More advantage. We have more advantage in this world. Christ came so we can have more advantage in everything. And we need to act on that. We need to know in our mind, you know, I have more advantage. And I'm not talking about being prideful and cocky and whatever. No, just like, oh, I have more advantage. Get out of here, you know, get off my way. I'm not talking about that. Jesus is humble and we're supposed to be humble. But we need to know our place. You know, if I go to my parents' house, I know I have more advantage than whoever comes. You know, I know I can come and I'm not being prideful. I can come and open the fridge. You know, I'm humble, but I know my place. And I know I have more advantage. The same example, if someone has at a bank has, what do you call it? I don't know. Do you know what I'm referring to, right? That you are a client that you have privilege. Thank you. It would be dumb if there's a long line and he goes and he stands, you know, at the end of the line, if he can just go ahead and step out and take advantage of his privilege. That's what I'm talking about. I feel like as sons and daughters of Christ, we don't take that advantage. We go to the end of the line. First class in airlines, that's right. It would be dumb. It would be very dumb if you have a first class ticket and you just go and sit in the back next to the bathroom where everyone is coming and going and who knows what they do. And, you know, it would be dumb. And sometimes, as Christians, we are living like that. We sit in the plane next to the bathroom when we have our ticket that says, hey, you are first class. You come and sit here. You have privilege. And God has been telling me, Denise, I send my son for you to have a more abundant life in Christ. Number 5 is very highly. I'm supposed to have a very highly life. Beyond, number 6 is beyond measure. And some of these words are like overwhelming. Thank you. Yes. My tongue got tangled. And it's too much to take. And one step at a time, you know, his revelation is to come to our minds. And I'm kind of continuing from last time I was teaching. You know, I said everything starts with a thought. It all starts with a thought. And we need to renew our minds. You know, Romans 12:2 says, let's go there. We all know it, but I've been thinking, you know, I already know it. And yes, we already know it, but since we already know it, sometimes doesn't sink what it's really saying. You know, we live here in this world, and we see how people is acting, and we see what is normal, and we think that that's how we are supposed to be behaving or doing things when we are supposed to have a more abundant life in Christ. So, I'm thinking which version to read first. I'm going to read the one that we all know. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And his will is that we have a more abundant life. And so, first of all, we need to, well, I'm going to read it from the New Living. It says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That is abundant life. Good, pleasing, perfect. And so what it says, number 1, is don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. We cannot You know, we need to transform our mind. Let God transform and change the way we think, how things are supposed to be done because of what we see here in the world. We are not from here. We are passing by. We were created. We are from another. We are from heaven. And in heaven, things get done very differently. And we need to get that in our head and understand that my life is more abundantly. It's beyond measure. It has more advantage. And if we can only grasp this, our lives are gonna change forever. And this is not for us. This is not for us to have like a super duper life. It's so that other people can see, hey, I want that. That is awesome. How, you know, Danny is this friend here. He was telling us about a testimony, and I really quick, I'm gonna just share it. God had told him traveling from Germany back to the States that he was going to be traveling in first class. And he's like, okay, cool, you know, and then he forgot. And by the time, I'm gonna tell the story really fast, not every detail. So, anyways, he thought that when getting, you know, the ticket to the person and then going, that because a lady next to him, they say, oh, you have a upgrade. So that's when he remembered, like, oh, cool, me too. And then they just sealed his ticket and told him, have a nice flight. And then he's like, oh, well, then I guess I'm not. And so then he ends in the corner sitting, you know, and all cramp up and stuff. And two guys told him, hey, we want our friend to sit with us. And so we would like the three row here, the three seats. And so would you mind changing places with him? And he's like, no, that's fine. And so that's cool. He's like, he thought probably I will be in the aisle and will be able to stretch my legs. And so he's following and he's going further and further and further in the plane until he comes to first class. And I mean, who in his right mind is like, if I'm traveling with two friends, I don't care. I was like, see you guys in 10 hours, right? I'll stay in first class. So this guy stands up and he smiles at Danny and he goes back to the back, to the back, to the back with his friends. And Danny is there in first class. And I forgot why I was saying. Okay, so this life is so others can see, you know, like, how is it that you have this awesome life? How is it that you get to travel in first class? How is it that you, you know, whatever it may be, our bills pay, healing, miracles, abundant life, that people can see, like, hey, this life that you have, I want it. What is it? How is it that you get this privilege? You know, it's Christ. Christ came and he died for you so you can have abundant life in Christ. We only get this in Christ. And so we cannot expect for us to do things how people do and function in this world and get the results that God planned for us to have. So we were reading in John 10:10, right? The devil came last time. The devil came to steal. That's his purpose. To steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, but I came so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And we were reading how he's telling his disciples, I'm the good shepherd. And you need to enter through me. And I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And we also learned that salvation, it means not only I'm not going to hell. It means to deliver, to protect, to be safe, to heal, to preserve, to do well, to make whole, or restore. So I was saying we need salvation every day. It's not like, oh, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Come and live to my life. Okay, now I'm saved. And, you know, we enter to have this kind of life through the door that's Jesus. And we learn that that word enter is to arise. That word enter means to arise. And so I was saying that we cannot come and enter in our mentality, in our human mentality. We need to do it in the spirit, and we do it by faith. So all this needs to be in the spirit. And that's why it's in Christ. We cannot do it in the flesh. We need to be in the spirit. And I feel like sometimes, you know, we come to church and it's like if we come in Christ, but then we leave the church and we live in Christ in the church. And that's not how it's supposed to be. In Christ is in my house, in the school, at work. I'm in Christ. I don't get out of Christ because I get out, I leave this building. In Christ is every day, every single day, and I don't get out. It's like, you know, like a shadow. I can't leave my shadow there, you know. It comes with me wherever I move, right? It's the same way. It's like we need to be the shadow of Christ. It says that my sheep hear my voice, and they know me. So we need to know the voice of Jesus. We need to know and recognize when he's speaking. You know, right now in the world, everyone is screaming. There's so much noise. There's so many distractions. But it says, my sheep, the ones that are really my sheep, hear my voice and they know me and they follow me. And it's that still small voice. But I love how in Proverbs 8, wisdom is speaking, and wisdom is talking in the Proverbs, and he's saying, you know, I was there when everything was being created. I was there. I was there when the foundation of the world, when I was there when the ocean had its limits. I was there when, and he's talking about all this, but I love, let's go to Proverbs 8. It says, listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. And remember, to know means to understand. And so, I know the word of God, you know, God speaks in that still small voice. But his wisdom, it screams, it says, hear as understanding raises her voice. And then it says, on the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance of the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth. And it's saying, you know, wisdom is everywhere. And it's yelling at us. It's screaming. It's telling us, hey, I want to give you understanding. I want to tell you how to live. I want to tell you where to go. I mean, this is amazing. So we just need to pay attention when wisdom is screaming. Because how many of you need wisdom? I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And so it says that he will give us wisdom if we ask. So we need to listen and pay attention. God is always speaking. That still a small voice is always there. But it gets confusing with all the noise. But wisdom is screaming. Is yelling. And then it says in verse 8, it says, my advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. So it's clear and it's plain. Verse 9 says, my words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. So we just need to pay attention. If we pay attention to the voice of God, we won't be moved by anything else. We won't be deceived. You know, we were talking about how the devil deceives and enters through the cracks and wants to get back at God, right? He attacks us, but in reality, he's wanting just to get God's attention. So we won't be deceived and we won't leave cracks open if we pay attention and if we know what's real. You know, if we have this abundant life in Christ that only he satisfies, we won't need anything else. And so we won't copy the behavior of the world. We won't be like, oh, look, this seems like it works. I should probably try it. You know, if I am in Christ and wisdom is yelling and I hear God's voice that he's talking to me, then anything else won't matter. If I have what is real and it's really good, it won't matter. I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1, it says, since you have been raised to a new life in Christ. Amen. We are in Christ. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. I love this, that it's a reality. You know, sometimes people think like, well, the things of God and heaven, and it sounds like very, you know, like fairy tales or whatever. No, it's a reality. It's a reality. The fact that we don't see it with our natural eyes, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It's more real than what we can touch and see with our natural eyes. But it says, you know, we need to focus. Focus on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. What are the things of heaven? You know, it's the same thing. Don't copy the behavior of this world. Don't look at the things or the way people do things here. Think about the things of heaven. You know, we were talking about our thoughts. It all starts with a thought. So we need to toss what doesn't come from God, what the devil is bringing at us. You know, today, well, the devil has been attacking me like really bad. You know, but I need to choose what I'm going to do with that thought. Am I going to, meditate on it or, you know, ponder it? Or I'm just going to realize, you know what, this thought is not from God. And I'm just going to get rid of it right now. Is this a thing from heaven or is this a thing from earth? Verse 3 says, for you died to this life. And your life, your real life, I love this, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Our real life, our abundant life, it's in Christ. I think the King James says, it's in Christ. You know, our life is in Christ. So we need to set, you know, when you set something somewhere, it stays there, right? Or it's supposed to stay there. So it says to set our thoughts in the realities of heaven. We are here just passing. We are here just passing by. And sometimes, you know, the world and everything in it gets our attention or wants to distract us from what is our real life. And the devil also comes to steal our peace, our joy, and then to kill and destroy everything that God has planned for us if we let him. But it says that we are sitting with Christ. You know, again, I say everything that he did, we shouldn't let it be for nothing. If he paid so we can have abundant life, let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy the benefits, the privileges that he has given us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, so we praise God for the glorious grace. We were singing about that amazing grace. We praise him. We praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Verse 8, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. And notice that that's past tense. So we all said we needed wisdom. So we already have it. It says he has showered us with his kindness along with wisdom and understanding. And you are like, well, where is it? Where is the shower so I can get underneath it, right? Because I need that wisdom and that understanding. It's past tense, but we need to tap into it. It's the same thing as that abundant life. We need to tap into it, and we do it by faith. We cannot tap into it with our flesh. We cannot tap into it with our way of thinking, the worldly way of thinking. We need to set our mind in the realities of heaven. It doesn't work the same way that it works here. We reach to it by faith. We cannot see it. We cannot see it with our natural eyes. So we need to connect in the spirit and reach by faith. You know, we were talking today about Peter walking on water. I mean, no one has ever seen that. It's impossible for this world. It's impossible for people. But in God, in Christ, I mean, in Christ, what we can do is limitless. In Christ, he has done it in the past. Verse 9, God has now revealed to us, in the past tense, his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received, past tense, an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Peter was talking about that inheritance a few weeks ago. We have it. It has been given to us. We just need to connect and get in through the door. I was telling Eric, I was reading Ephesians, and I was like, whoa. It's like, I need to develop a series out of this. I was like, it's so much. I don't know. It's too much. God has so much for us. Verse 19 is what I've been telling you, all of you. We need to understand. And Paul was praying, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21, now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of who? Who is the church? I am the church. We need to read that again. We need to understand. He raised, verse 19. I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or ruler or anything else, not only in this world, so it's not just for when we go to heaven. It's in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put some things, all things, under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things. All things means all things. There's nothing gets out for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ who fills all things everywhere with himself. Church, if we can understand this, there's nothing that can stop the church. This place is going to start to get filled up because people are going to be like, hey, what is with you? Remember I was telling you last week, can you come, about the body of Christ and the church? There's no difference. You know, you see Eric here, and if you don't see his body, that's Eric, right? You see his face, and that's Eric. But then you don't say, like, oh, there's Pablo. That's, you see his body, and you're just like, that's Eric. So the same way, there's no difference. You know, Christ is the head of the body, but there's no difference. You don't make difference between, thank you. It's an awesome model, huh? Handsome. There is no difference. There is no difference. We have it all. We can go and turn this world upside down. We can go and turn this world upside down. Amen. All ruler, all authority. When the devil comes to stick his tongue out, it's like, hey. You know, there's nothing. It's all under our feet. And besides, if you want to separate Christ, you know, the head from the body, still all that Christ did is for the benefit of the body. It's for the benefit of the church. We are full and we are complete by Christ, who fills the important things, who fills some things, who fills things on Sundays. He fills all things everywhere. Everywhere with himself. There's no corner. There's no highway. There's no town left out. He fills everywhere with himself. The key is in those who believe him. How do we believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. My lovely father-in-law says, is the word, is the word, is the word, is the word, is the word. We cannot separate ourselves from Christ. If we have come to Christ, we stay in Christ. He is the word. Christ is the word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was in God, and is the Word is in Christ. Let's pray. Father, tonight I pray that you will reveal your Word to us. Father, I pray, like Paul prayed, that you will enlighten our understanding. Father, that we may comprehend what you have done for us and the place and the abundant life you want us to be living, so that others can come to the knowledge of you. Father, it's all about you. It's all about you, and we thank you. We thank you. We're so grateful for what you have done for us, and we won't let it go to waste. We will take advantage. We will live that more abundant life. We will live in preeminence, Lord, for your glory, so that your name may be lifted up, so that you will be glorified, so that every tongue will confess that you are God. It all turns to you, Lord. We just want to reflect all the glory. We just want to reflect your power. We just want people to see what you have come to do through us. I want to live a more abundant life for your glory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you came to do for us. May your name be always glorified in my life. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. Church, I love you so very much. And I look forward for the next time that I can come and share. And I want to come back and see this place filled with people hungry for God, living an abundant life. I love you all very much. And have a blessed week, a more abundant week. And I love you. We bless, and I'll see you next Wednesday.